This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
So I'm going to talk to you for just a little bit on why won't God make your life easy? Why won't the Lord lighten your load? Why is it that God seems so content on keeping you under the load and under the burden and under the problems and under the issues and under the strain and under the pain? The book of Numbers, chapter number 7. We'll begin reading in verse number 6 tonight. The Bible says, "And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites, two wagons and four oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, and four wagons and eight oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according unto their service under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath," watch this next phrase, "he gave," how many? "None. Because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders." It was a glorious day in the land of Israel. Bezaliel and the Holiab, the sons of craftsmanship, had completed the tabernacle of the Lord, that temporary structure that would be raised up in the wilderness where they would get to meet with the Lord their God. It was a wonderful day, Brother Bob. They finally had a place where God would meet with them and they could meet with God. Now, there was a specific manner in which they were to transport that tabernacle structure. If you remember the tabernacle, it had three sections. It had the outer section, it had the inner section, and then it had the holiest of holies. It had a specific way that it was set up, and everything about it was specific. One of the ways that they were specific about it was the fact that when they moved from camp to camp, they were to break that thing down in a specific pattern. There were three different people or tribes of people that were over the breakdown of that camp. The three sections or tribes, they were derived from the three sons of Levi. The tribe of Levi was broken down into three battalions. The first battalion was the sons of Gershon. The second section was the sons of Merari. And the third section was the sons of Kohath. And each one of them had a specific task in the breakdown and the transportation of the tabernacle. The sons of Gershon, they were the ones that were in charge of taking down the curtains and the skins. All around the outside and around the inner place, there were curtains and there were animal skins that would be draped on top and draped on the sides. The sons of Gershon had the task of taking those and folding those up in a particular manner and transporting them to a separate camp or another place. Then they would come to the people of Merari, and the sons of Merari, their job was to now take the bare laid out planks and the foundation boards that were wrapped all the way around. They were to take down the poles, they were to take down the wood, and they were to take that wood and they were to transport it to the next location. And then the sons of Kohath would walk in. The sons of Kohath were tasked with one thing. They had one mission and they had one job. Their job was to transport the vessels that were used for worship. They were to transport all of the silver and the golden spoons and the coffers and the basins and the bowls and all of those. They were to transport the ark that was made for burning. They were to transport the altar of incense. They were to transport the golden menorah. And most importantly, they were to transport the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. That place where the blood was to be sprinkled. That was their job. They had a specific manner in which. Now listen, of all the people in the camp, that group of people, that was the most important in all of the other tribes. That tribe, the tribe of Levi, and their mission, and their job, and their ways, and what they would do, that was the most important of all the people. Here's why. Because without the sons of Levi, those people don't meet with God. Without the sons of Levi, those people don't talk to God. Without the sons of Levi, those people don't get direction from God. Without the sons of Levi, those people never meet with God. Without the sons of Levi, there is no hope for God. Without the sons of Levi, there is no pathway for God. You understand how important the sons of Levi's ministry was, and they recognized that. It's always good to recognize who really carries the load in the house of God. And so this is what the elders of Israel do. They say, we want to help you lighten your load. We want to help you carry the burden that you've been laden down with. So Bob, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you 12 carts, and we're going to give you 6 carts, and we're going to give you 12 yoke of oxen to pull those carts. 2 yoke of oxen for each cart. You take 6, and here's what you need to do, Moses. You divide, give 2 to Gershon, give 2 to Merari, and give 2 to the sons of Kohath, and then give a 2 yoke of oxen to each cart. And everybody will be able to have a light load. Everybody will be able to carry. As they come down, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 7 that Brother Moses does what God always has his people do. He never has his people follow the plan that man has mapped out. And so God goes through Moses and he says to the sons of Gershon, the scripture says he gave 2 carts or 4 carts and he gave the yoke of oxen. I believe over here the sons of Kohath, they probably said, wait a second. I'm doing some mathematics here, and I don't know that that's going to work out. They got more. That only leaves just a few for us and a few for them. We better make sure that our load gets carried. So here he comes now. Bobby goes down to the next group of people, and he takes the remaining 2 carts and the rest of the yoke of oxen, and he gives those to the next son, the son of Merari. Now, I believe with all of my heart, the sons of Gershon are thinking, man, we've been given a good thing. We've been given a great idea. We've been given something that's going to make our journey through the wilderness easy. I believe the sons of Merari said, well, we didn't get as much as the other people. We didn't get as much as they got. But I think we can handle what's been given to us because we have been given a lightning load, a load lightener. But here we go on this other side. Remember, we've still got one set of boys. We've got the sons of Kohath. Am I right? We've got these sons of Kohath, and they're over here doing the math. They're back here scratching their head, and this is what they say. They say, now I understand they got this. I understand that they got that. I believe one of those old Baptist Kohath boys raised their hands and said, now Brother Moses, don't you forget you didn't give us anything. Don't you forget you didn't give us anything to lighten our load. And Brother Moses, I know you're getting old. I know it was an overstep. I know it was probably something you just had so much on you. Or isn't it amazing that the first time you do something people don't like, they're real nice when they come to you and they say, you know, we know you just had a slight little hiccup in the plan, but you didn't give us a card. And don't forget, Brother Moses, we've got the real important stuff. We've got the Ark of the Covenant. Now remember, you can have worship without the skins, you can have worship without the boards, but you can't have worship without the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of sacrifice and the golden lampstand and the altar of incense. And I believe the sons of Kohath said, fellas, it's going to be okay. Just a little oversight on the part of the old man. Brother Moses looked at them and said, I've done exactly what God told me to do. I'm not giving you any. You're not getting something to lighten your load. I believe the sons of Kohath bowed up and said, Brother Moses, don't you understand? Don't I need to remind you that we're the ones doing the real work? We're the ones carrying the real burden. We're the ones that are really praying the real prayers. We're the ones that are really applying the blood. We're the ones that are keeping the fire burning down at the house of God. We're the ones that are keeping the house of God clean. We're the ones that are making sure the prayers and the altar of incense rise up. Don't you dare tell me you're not going to give me something to lighten my load. Brother Moses said, I'm not lightening your load, but I'm going to make sure it rests heavy on your shoulders. Brothers and sisters, let me make a little application, if I can, very quickly. Isn't it amazing to you, as you look down through history, that the people that had had the most anointing on their lives were the people that carried the heaviest burdens. It was the people all the way down through history that had the biggest anointing of God on their life. They're the ones that God didn't give them a load lightener. There were those people. They didn't have the easy way. Now let's just go ahead and put it down where the beaver skin hits the skin. Here's what you and I know. There are people in this church and you are the skin people. You carry the skins. You keep the exterior of everything looking good and looking right. And then there are people. They're the pillars of the church. Now this message isn't going to be for everybody, so you may as well go and take your checkbook out, because some of you are going to be balancing here in about 6.5 minutes. But I'm talking tonight to the ones of you that are like the sons of Kohath, and you're carrying the real burden, and you're laying down on your face and praying to the God of heaven, and you're trying to get on fire for God, and you're trying to do something for the good God of heaven, and you're trying to do something for the Lord, and you're trying to stay under that burden, and you're trying to do that thing for your family, and you're over here and you're saying, God, they've got a light and load, and they've got a light and load, but yet here I am, and you're not giving me anything to lighten my load. God, their husband's in church. All I want is my husband in church. Their kids are right with God. All I want are my kids right with God. They've got all the money they need. All I need is for somebody to help me pay a few bills. And here you are tonight, and you're faithful to the house of God, and you're true in the things of God, and you're faithful to the good things of God. But yet you feel like, God, if somebody doesn't help me lighten my load, I don't think I'm going to make it another step. I don't think I'm going to make it another mile. I don't think I'll make it in the wilderness one more day. And you say, God, would you please just lighten my load? And God says, I will not. Now, I've told you, I'm just the average guy. And I'm sitting back thinking, God, why won't you lighten our loads? Lord, I understand. Take one of their things. They're just carrying skins. And give it to the people that are really carrying the burden. Take one of theirs. They got more than enough. Help them carry the burden. The Bible says to the sons of Kohath, he gave none. Why won't God lighten your load? Three reasons. Write them down. Number one, the reason God won't lighten your load is because of what it forces you to show. What it forces you to display. There is a reason why God did not allow the sons of Kohath to have a lightened load. Now, get this in your mind, brothers and sisters, as they're going through the wilderness, as they're going through and trudging through the sandy deserts of the Arabian Peninsula, as they're walking through the Sinai and the clouds leading them by day and the fires burning by night. You've got this entire camp of people, and they're back there, and they've got their donkeys, and they've got their mules, and they've got their horses, and they've got their people, and they're just as happy as they can be. They're back there just saying, isn't this thing wonderful? I think I can go another mile. Isn't this thing wonderful? I think I can go another journey. Isn't this thing wonderful? I think I can handle just a little bit more. And as you go toward the front of the camp, there's a group of people up there, and on their shoulders are the Ark of the Covenant. On their shoulders are the burnt offering of sacrifice, carrying on their shoulders. And this is what they're saying. They're saying, my God, I don't think I can make it another step. My God, I don't think I can make it another mile. My God, I don't think I can make it through this hot desert one more day. I don't think I can handle one more burning, blazing sunrise and sunset. God, this is all I can take. Now watch this. As they go forward and Joshua takes over from Moses, as they come down to the Jordan River, as they're down at the Jordan River, do you remember what your Bible says? As they go down into the Jordan, Cindy, do you know who the first people to step into the Jordan River was? It was not the sons of Merari and their oxen and carts. It was not the sons of Gershon with their oxen and carts. You know who it was? It was the sons of Kohath, on whom the Shekinah glory of God rested. Now watch this, beloved brothers and sisters. I was feeling hurting on the beginning of this, but I'm getting gooder and gooder in my soul right now. Here's what they got in. They got down to the water, and as they got down into the water, all of a sudden the Bible says, all the way at the city of Adam, the water began to split and the water began to part. As they began to walk over, they stayed in that water, and word began to travel to the back of that camp. And you know what what the word said. They said, we're going over to the promised land. We're going over to Canaan land. We're going over where the milk and the honey flows. And the people in the back, they said, how did it happen? Who got across there? I don't think I can swim. I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can survive. And word began to travel back. And this is what the word said. It said, a man on whom the Shekinah glory rested has made a way across the river unto the other side. Everything in your Bible, beloved, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, including this story. People come to you and they say, how did you make it into a life that's worth living? How did you make it into a life that's worth having? And this is what you say. If you had an easy life, you'd be able to say, my marriage helped me get across. My family helped me get across. All the money I've got in the bank. But because your marriage is struggling and you don't have a lot of money and you struggle in your mind and your mental facilities are not great and you got emotional problems, beloved, here's what you say. You say, you know how I got to the other side where the milk and the honey flows? Because a man came out of heaven on whom the Shekinah glory rested, and he made a way across the river. And the fact that you are under a burden with no help from God shows those people it wasn't your power that bought your way into the presence of God Almighty. It forces you to show. Now, I got this just a second ago. This is not in my notes, baby doll, so this might not come out right, so you're just going to have to love me through it, all right? Here's what I'm a-thinking. You think about all those people, and they're in the back, Brother Bob, and they got their carts, and they got their oxen, and they got their donkeys, and they got their little umbrellas. They've got their little virgin pina coladas, and they're just enjoying life out in the wilderness. And you know what they say? This isn't too bad, roaming through the wilderness. This life out here isn't too bad. Making it out here is not too shabby. I think I could go another mile. I think I could trudge another step. I'm enjoying wilderness living a whole lot. But yet there's a group of people in the front, and they're weighted down under the burden, and they're weighted down under their praying, and they're wondering, why ain't God listening to my prayer? Why ain't my life getting easy? And you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, are we home yet? Are we to the other side yet? Have I made it across the river yet? You do realize, brothers and sisters, that Babylon is not our home, and this world is not our home, and the reason God won't lighten your load, and the reason God won't lighten my load, is he doesn't want us to have our tent poles too deep down in this world. He wants us aiming at the other side of the river and saying, are we home yet? The reason God won't lighten your load is because of what it forces you to show. Number two, the second reason God won't lighten your load is because of what it forces you to squeeze. The Ark of the Covenant, Ray, it's put through with two poles, one on either side. The altar of burnt offering, two poles on the other side, on either side. The menorah, two poles on either side. Everything had poles. Now, here's what you've got to understand. None of the holy vessels of God were to be put on the back of donkeys. Why? Because they're different than the animal skins. They're different than the poles that go in the ground. There's a seriousness to those things. And Moses wanted the people to know that it is more important than what I can put on the back of the donkey. They want somebody to hold the serious things of God really tight. And as they go on that way, they want somebody that says, this is more important than an easy life. This is more important. I feel something right there. This is more important than an easy, lucky go life. This right here, what I'm carrying on my shoulder, it's more important than being back there and having our life easy. It's more important than this. It's the Shekinah glory of God. It's the presence of God Almighty. And I'm going to do everything I can to hold it tight and to let everybody know. No, this is the real thing, and I'm not letting it go. Can I just stop, run me about four rabbits, and come back on the trail? Can I tell you why I have such a problem with the modern day church? Because there is no seriousness to the things of God. There's no seriousness to their worship. There's no seriousness to their life. There is no holiness in their life. There is no goodness in their action. Everything, they come in, they do what they want, they act like they want. want. They go out of here, do what they want, and they act like they want. And they come in, and a guy looks like this, and he acts like that, and he says this, and he says that. They've got lights here, and they've got smoke there, and it's nothing more than just a glorified concert. And there's no difference to the things that are on the wagon and the things that are be carried, the holy things of God. You do realize, brothers and sisters, that the fact God won't lighten your load, He wants you to know what He's doing in your life is a serious thing. What God is doing in your life is a real thing. What God is birthing in your life, it's a serious thing. And God wants you to hold it tight. And that's why, listen, time, I wish this wasn't so, but if God took the problem off of your life you struggle with the most, you'd walk so fast away from God, it'd make your head spin. I know I would. If my, listen, when my time gets easy and my life gets easy, I don't pray like I ought to. I don't study like I ought to. But every Monday morning, do you know what forces me to drive myself into the study and get along with God? The pressure of the coming week. The coming Sunday when hungry sheep will gather back into the flock and the fold. And it forces me back in. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. There's nothing wrong with golfing. There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with going and playing ping pong. There's nothing wrong with going out here and bouncing and playing whatever you want to play. But there is something about our lives, and God will not let us live in some of the foolishness that other people get to live in, because He wants us to squeeze tight on the serious things of God. He wants people that are willing to squeeze tight and say, I'll get under that burden to pray. I'll get under the burden to make sure that Shekinah glory comes with me into the house of God. Do you know why churches are like mortuaries and preachers are like undertakers and the singing is just like you're at a funeral? Because nobody has been under that burden that week, and nobody has brought the presence of God and the power of God. But I love it when people say something like this. They say, well, I brought God with me when I came in. Well, that's real funny, because when God stepped out of heaven, all the angel choirs of glory said glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I couldn't even get a holy grunt out of you or the people in your church. So I'm pretty sure the God you brought to this church is not the God of the Bible I've been reading about. You know what the problem is? People offloaded their burden onto a cart and ready to live the easy. Listen to me. It is not easy to pray. It is not easy to be faithful. It is not easy to live holy. It is not easy to stay under that burden. It is not easy to fast. It is not easy to raise your children right. It is not easy to do what you ought to do. But it is worth it, because when I get to where I'm going, I am not by myself. I have brought the presence of God with me, whether I'm raising my kids, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm out talking to somebody, because God didn't lighten my load. I know I've got a hold of something serious in my hands. Now watch this. I preached this the other day, and this one blessed me pretty good, so I think I might bless somebody. I don't know, though. Some of y'all are looking a little hard to please tonight, but let me just see if I can't march down this little pathway for a minute. It forces you to squeeze how precious the thing you're holding is. Now, Miss Lynn, watch this. When they went into the Holy of Holies, only one person at one time was ever able to see the Ark of the Covenant. That was the high priest. He's the only man that ever saw the Ark of the Covenant. The sons of Kohath that carried it, they didn't see it. Here's why. Because when the time came to move, beloved, the sons of Levi would march backwards. They would take the hooks, the curtain, off of the Holy of Holies, and they would march backwards. And without looking, they would lay the curtain over the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Bible says if any man looked upon the Ark, he would be killed immediately. So as they're marching around, they don't see the crown at the top of the Ark of the Covenant. They don't see the cherubim that are facing each other. They don't see the dried up specklings of blood. You know what they see? Golden poles. That's all they see, are golden poles. As they're walking, though, and because God didn't lighten their load, and because God didn't lift their burden, as they're walking, they are probably wondering, I wonder what the real thing looks like. I wonder what the ark, I wonder what the crown looks like. I wonder what the mercy seat looks like. But they say, all I got is this pole. And I imagine, Bob, as they're traveling through the wilderness, one of those old boys looks at it and thinks, you know, that's a pretty pole. Because that pole was wood and it was laid in pure gold. And at some point, they had to look over and say, Chad, that's the prettiest pole I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a golden pole. I've never seen a pure pole like that. I've never seen a strong pole like that. And I wonder if they ever thought this. If the pole's that pretty, I wonder what the real thing looks like. And you know how they got to think that? Because they're squeezing tight to that precious thing. Watch this, brothers and sisters. I have never seen God face to face. I have never ever felt. I have never actually seen the real arms of God wrap around me. And if you're right with God, you haven't either. If you have, that was a dream you had. You have never seen the Lord Jesus face to face. No man can see God face to face at any time and live is what the Bible says. You have not seen Jesus. Only one man has ever seen Jesus. Two men have ever seen Jesus since he went up. Stephen was the martyr, and then John the Beloved saw him in the book of Revelation chapter number 1. You have not seen Jesus. I have not seen Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I've said, Lord, if I could just look into your face, if I could just see the scars in your hands, if you would just let me see the scar in your side, I know everything's going to be okay. But God, all I've got's a pole. All I've got's a burden. And Lord, not only are you not letting me see your face, you keep me under this burden. But you know what God does? Every now and again, I'll look over in that time with God. I might be reading my Bible, Bob. I might be praying. And all of a sudden, I'll get a glimpse of the real thing.